Now, if we look at the table and emphasize a little differently, just turn our minds to think about the loaves, especially now as the people of God, because it's clear that God wants us to make that link as well by the 12 loaves, 12 cakes. Then we can also say this, that not only is there strength for us, that we take on the character of Christ when we enjoy what God is enjoying, we have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, but also we can say that as they're traveling through the wilderness, those 12 cakes, they would come. You could find in Numbers chapter 4, we won't turn to it, Numbers chapter 4 talks about how they would get the tabernacle ready to move. And they would the priest would come in first and cover up all the pieces of furniture with cloths of various colors. And it's interesting to look at those as well. And then they would carry these pieces of furniture. And it might be for a short distance or for a great distance. But they didn't take the showbread off. At least I think we should say that they did not. The showbread was supposed to be on the table. There's no indication that the showbread would be removed when they would travel. So now here's the people of God traveling through the wilderness. How can they, these 12 cakes of unleavened bread that God is enjoying because they have the features of Christ, just as God enjoys seeing Christ in all of His perfections, God looks down upon us and desires to see us conform to the image of His Son. How are those 12 cakes, the people of God, going to be preserved traveling through the wilderness? They're on the table. They're on the table. They're supported by the one who is perfectly divine and who is perfect in His humanity. They're supported on the table. And in fact, for that reason, I kind of prefer some of the other renderings of the table itself than what I've seen in this one, because I think this crown, turn back to Exodus 25. This idea of this crown is like an edge, a frame, that was probably, it was a raised edge, a molding, the New King James says. There was an edge to it. In Exodus 25, I'm looking at verse 24, there was this molding of gold all around. I'd be inclined to say that there's a molding of gold all around the edge of the table. Or the crown, as your translation may say. And then there was this frame, which I'm picturing on the inside, the surface of the table, about a hand breadth, probably about 4 inches or so, inside that crown, which was raised above the edge of the table. And then there was another molding. Mm-hmm. You'll make a frame, verse 25, make a frame of a hand breadth all around, and you'll make a gold molding for the frame all around. So I'm taking that as a second crown. So we've got a crown raised above the edge of the table. Then there's a little space between two moldings, so to speak. There's another crown inside that frame. So there's two crowns around the edge of the table. That's how I'm taking that description. What a picture that is of the security of the people of God traveling through the wilderness. Those loaves, those cakes, are kept secure. They're covered by these cloths. And they are kept secure traveling through the wilderness by these crowns that are preserving their place on the table. And that's something else that I think we can enjoy when we look at it that way. The loaves representing the people of God in that aspect. God has made every provision not only to provide a means of display for the one He finds most enjoyable, the table as a means of support, a means of display for the showbread, but also the table as a means of support for the people of God and security and preservation of those loaves. So I'll just stop with that thought, and there are no doubt others to add on to that or additional comments.
You mentioned that each of the crowns or rims is a handbreadth high or wide. John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29 and 30. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Just wanted to make one more observation about the loaves and the crown and where all of this took place in the sanctuary. And one of the things that we have often a problem doing in Bible study and, you know, making application is we often think of our the application as it relates to ourself based on where we are in our experience. And it's not a problem with that, but sometimes we miss out on something that's very precious and very great. And one of the things I wanted to help us think about is if we understand that the loaves, not only by their content or their substantive material, remind us of Christ, it also reminds us that how God sees his people. He doesn't see us in our failures and our weaknesses as much as we have them. And very often we tend to focus on that. But how God sees us, he sees us in the perfection that he has in Christ. And so when I see myself in Christ, that's how I have to be reminded that that's how God sees me. And when I take that perspective, what it does, it just helps me understand the grace of God. I just give you an example of this. In the case of the children of Israel in Balaam, right? The children of Israel, we know that they were a bad bunch of people. But when Balaam prophesies concerning those people, God sees them in perfection. How can that be? And that's exactly the point I want us to understand and want us to walk away from, is that when God looks down, when God is presenting this to us, he's telling us, this is where I'm bringing you in grace, and I am not seeing you in your failure. I'm seeing you in the perfections of Christ. And so as we're there, he says, I want you to really enjoy it. I want you to be a part of it. I want you to recognize that, you know what? I'm not seeing you in your failure. Mm-hmm. I've taken care of that outside at the altar, and we'll talk about that later and the labor. But I'm seeing you now in the perfection that I can now share with you what's precious to me, and you are ever before me in the perfection of Christ.
And I'd like to just add on to that, because I was thinking, too, something along the same line. There are different times that we see groups of 12 of things that represent the people of God. And for example, when they crossed the Jordan River, there were 12 stones that were put in the river where the priest's feet stood when they walked with the Ark of the Covenant. And then they took 12 stones out of the river and put them on the other side of the Jordan banks to commemorate the fact that they, as we would say it, they had died with Christ and they had risen with Christ on the other side of Jordan. And those were stones, right? They're various sizes and shapes. Probably some of them were lumpy and some of them were misshapen a little bit. And they all had different shapes and sizes. God takes each of us in our shapes and sizes and he puts us in Christ. We are linked with Christ, whatever shape and size we are. Those 12 stones would not have been identical, but he takes them and he links them with Christ. There's the 12 stones on the breastplate of the high priest. Every one of them is a different color. And every one of them has its own glory. And yet God links them together on the breastplate of the high priest. And everyone has its own little facets and its own way of reflecting the glory of Christ, reflecting this color or that color, and being enjoyed for its particular character, but all united together on that breastplate. But this isn't that way. Look at, it's back in Leviticus. It says, you make 12 equal cakes. Exactly the same amount of flour in every one of them. I think that's so beautiful too. God sees us with exactly the same link with Christ, supported on that table. The glorious Son of God, we're all equal. So there's, in some circumstances, in some viewpoints, some applications, we say, look, God takes each of us and he puts us, he fits us together, he takes who we are and he puts us in Christ. And there's various purposes and various things that different believers display of the glories of Christ. But in the showbread, it's, as we were saying, I think it links with this too, that every cake was equal in size, equal in shape, and they were all there for the pleasure of God equally. Why were they that? Because they were of the substance of Christ. They were made of the same substance that Christ, that God had already enjoyed in Christ, the fine flour and the frankincense. For that purpose, for that reason, I kind of prefer the image of the loaves spread out in flat rows, like six in a row and then six more in a row, as opposed to the piles. Because I like to think of every one of them having the frankincense sprinkled upon them. That's just my personal thought, and I can't say, because the scriptures don't say exactly how they were displayed. But or I think they do actually say rows, but there's a lot of pictures that represent piles, so some must think that the rows are related to piles. But in any case, God has this assessment of his people: equal standing, equal blessing, equal support, placement on the table. God has a place for each of us.